welcome to another episode of Three Wise DMs, the podcast where three dungeon masters have been doing this for way too long. Talk about all the things we do to try to make our games as good as they can be.
Hi, I'm Tony.
I'm Chris.
I was born in a small town, and I live in a small town. Probably die in a small town, oh, the small communities. But no, I cannot forget from where it is that I come from. Cannot forget the people who love me. I'm not going to sing anymore because I feel like Mellencamp is the kind of guy that will cease and desist my ass. So,
I'll just come over and punch you.
Hey, man, I'm born. This is a small town. In your fucking face.
This is how we handle it in a small town.
This ain't Squirrel Town, boy. Hello, everyone. This is another episode. Welcome back to Three Wise DMs. This is the Rock and Roll DM, DM Dave. I want to say that's the first introduction of the Coug, John Cougar Mellencamp, on Three Wise DMs. I feel like that's the first. I don't see any reason why I would have had him on before. I kind of was bothered when he I understood when he wanted to add Mellencamp because it's his family's name, but don't drop the Cougar, dude. Keep that as your middle name. My middle name is Danger, you know? But anyway.
My middle name is Older Ladies Looking for Love.
If you guys are not aware yet, which you probably will, because most of the people that are listening are hopefully listening regularly, but anybody new to the podcast, welcome. This is now episode 3 of our world building in real time with Three Wise DMs, where we have decided to crowdsource and community build a brand new world from the ground up. We've been asking for some engagement from you guys, for ideas, for poll questions, for voting, and you guys have been delivering a lot. So just to kind of start it off here, I did want to finally go back to Chris, your article from this past week, where you kind of went over we were trying to drive down on the elevator pitch for a campaign setting, right? So if I'm pitching campaigns like we've talked about before to your group, you've got that little dust jacket synopsis of what it is, right? If it's Curse of Strahd, then the master of Ravenloft is invited you for dinner, right? That's here, you know, welcome. So ours came to, in a world where magic is but memory, the recent discovery of magic technology in the undiscovered wastes has fueled a gold rush as would-be explorers and prospectors travel through hastily constructed boom towns in search of fame, fortune, and power. I added the power part, Chris. I thought that was really cool just for our magic thing, right?
But it's that's a little kind bit longer than Strahd invites you to dinner.
Curse of Strahd dust jacket is a little longer. But that's pretty much it. That's the final sentence. That is kind of what we've kind of come to. So we've got this idea of this Weird West, sci-fi meets D&D, arcane gunslingers, boom towns, the cursed earth, right? This is kind of where we are here. And last episode, we were talking about magic, and one of the things we came upon was how to make it special, and we kind of were talking about what if we just erased the wizard class, because we didn't want people necessarily learning magic as much as finding it, kind of like Artificer style, or being warped by the strange radiations or something in the world from something, we don't know, you know, these are blanks right now, but that would offer the idea of sorcerers and warlocks and druids and things like that. But we did get a good amount of engagement. I just want to go over a couple of these real quick before we kind of dive into tonight. Because again, thanks guys. And please reach out, join the conversation that we're having because it's really fun. This has been really, really fun. So first one I want to go over is a longtime friend of the show, Jim Laubacher. And he was saying that he felt that adjusting the spell list was really the way to go. You can pull spells from older editions, make it finding the spell books part of like their manuals of like old technology, you know, focusing on spells that are like kind of for artificers or summoners. Maybe it's all just force and lightning and telekinesis kind of spells, which is kind of cool. It kind of goes into, Tony, your idea with like the psionics, right? So that was a cool one. A gentleman, Monty Glover, he was saying that he thought allowing the wizard would make for really interesting role-play scenes. He referenced Outlaw Star, but the idea that, and a couple people said this, but preparing spells was like etching in like the gun or etching on the bullet or something like that, right? So you have to kind of track how many casings you have, like you're tracking your bullets, right? And the ones that you've prepared for the day, like that's really cool. The idea of material components like being important again, like powdered silver, right? Well, you got to go find it, or you got to mine it, or you got to trade for it or something like that, right? He also finished out with an idea that like, what if magic was really heavily restricted in cities and towns, which is something that I started to think about as well, because our idea of a tombstone kind of world, like guns were restricted within town limits, you know, so would magic be as well? This is something we're probably going to get into a little bit more tonight. And then one guy wrote, and I thought it was just a really cool synopsis of it, Matt Sinclair. So this one's going to be a little longer. Please bear with me, guys. But I think this is really good in terms of just a philosophical perspective on it. But he said, wouldn't removing everything except the wizard or forcing everyone to function the same as the wizard make magic feel more special? As it stands, basically anyone can just be magical, except wizards. Wizards have to study. They have to learn. Their ability to gain new spells literally functions best via crowdsourcing, unlike everyone else who just gets new spells. Even most half-casters have an easier time acquiring new spells than wizards do. Via the core rules, magic is honestly about as special as a set of armor, which is kind of what we were getting at. It's less a question of who can get one and more a question of how nice their best one is. There is nothing special about that. You can make it so they only learn one or two spells every level, or two on their own with everything else requiring finding scrolls, books, manuals, whatever. Suddenly magic has more weight. Suddenly having even a few spells sets you apart from regular folk. Suddenly having that spell, the one the party needs, is special. And I thought that was a really cool take on it, that we always talk about the wizard, but like they are the ones that have to like work kind of the hardest. You know, they're not toot toot the magic flute or just like, I like animals, right? Like they have to like put in a little more time. So anyway, so with that, our overall poll has kind of said that we're probably not removing the wizard class. We don't know yet, but we are still going to roll it in a little bit to kind of like more of our artificery kind of thing, a little more still tech based, because I think we're all really jazzed on that idea. But I've been talking a lot. Tonight, we are going to drive down now even more into where we ended last episode, which was this Weird West world. And this boom town, in essence, Tombstone, right? With Wyatt Earp and Doc Holliday. That was kind of the idea that started to percolate last episode. And we're going to drive down a little bit tonight and kind of start doing what Tony really hates.
Building
a town. But we're going to do this on a little more broad strokes. And we're going to kind of see where you guys are all with us or not with us on this. So I've done a lot of talking. I'm going to drink a little bit of my coffee, and I'm going to let you guys take it.
So the way I kind of envision this is, yes, it's a boom town. You're not dealing with high security. You're like, who really, like, you have the long arm of the law. You have a sheriff, maybe some bounty hunters, but a lot of self-policing in this kind of an environment. And I think like this is kind of like your stop in between the environment that we created that wants you to go explore it. Like we say, like this wild or wacky West, I'm kind of thinking mysterious. There's a lot of mysteries to this place that you're going to try to uncover throughout your adventure, throughout your campaign, your one shot, whatever. What happened here? We talked about wizards. Well, one aspect is we can make them actually look for their spells. The magic is physically out there. It was lost. It was scattered. We kind of threw out there, too, that a lot, so the characters absorbed powers. That's kind of their origin story. It set them apart. I was actually kind of, and this is a little off topic, I was kind of kicking around, like, maybe we need another variant human for this environment that has psychic powers, since that's an element of this environment.
Yeah, Tony, real quick, you had made that point, and Chris, you had put it in the elevator pitch from your article from last week, where you had said the undiscovered wastes. And I thought a better idea is not undiscovered, because, like, they know that they're there, but they're unexplored. Like, you don't go out there, right? Like, people know, and there's probably people out there. There's probably creatures and other races out there and stuff, but it's not not where civilized folk want to be, right? Just like in the West, right?
The wastelands.
Yeah, but I think in many cases, like, so this boomtown sits along those. And if you think about a town, it's like, what is, especially a boomtown like this, what is the commerce there? What does the town try to do? In this case, if it's people, explorers going and returning with ancient technology and other things of some value, you'd need to have places in town where you could sell those things. You would have, for example, with wizards and artificers, you'd have some wizards that may go out into the wastes. You may have other wizards, factions, families in there that may send people in the wastes to gather magical stuff for them to enhance themselves using those kind of things there. And then from the same kind of idea, the entertainment there in town is like, you know, obviously you need like a standard, you have a tavern or a saloon if you're in the Old West there. A source of entertainment, right? Like, and things that people do there. So I'm going there, I'm working. So I'm either someone who's going out into the wastes, right? A lot of the people that would travel through Tombstone that were headed out to do something. But there's also people within Tombstone that are pushing people out, and places within Tombstone that I can sell, as much as Tony hates the shop, but right, but places where I can turn what I've gotten out in the undiscovered wastes into cash, into other things, into power to understand it. You know, those kind of things. So I think that's how the town starts to come from a seed into a larger place. Is like, what are people coming there? What do they do during the day? What is it that draws them into the boom town? And then also how they have fun.
Yeah, no, I think the one of the things that is good for that, because yeah, you're going out and getting this tech, right? And obviously we kind of jumped on this idea of like, we're using Tombstone as kind of our, like, you know, reference point, as our measuring stick, right? It's not exactly like that, but it serves to explain a lot of things. So you have the explorers, the prospectors, the adventurers that are coming in that are going into the wastes now. Okay, we go back to Scott, the Wizard Washburn's campaign that he had started with the idea of Breska, and the whole economy was based on going in, getting the treasures from the old dwarven ruins and bringing them back out, right? But with me, I'm thinking, like, we're getting all of this tech. Like, this is super powerful stuff, right? Because this is the world that magic is, like Chris, you said, magic is but a memory, right? So to add to kind of like, we had talked about like the ruling families and who like rules this. How does that work? Are there factions that are involved? And I want to look just big picture for a second. We're sending, I'm thinking to like the Iron Chapter, right? Like our idea for the Iron Chapter. My idea at one point, the Golden Lore Collection Company that I had built out. But this idea that adventurers are hired by large conglomerates. So this kind of builds into like our sci-fi ish kind of thing, but there's large conglomerates that are like, we want this stuff, right? So just like in Tombstone, there were individual prospectors and people that had silver mines, but a lot of it was companies coming in buying up it met a lot of mines and hiring people to do them, right? That type of idea. So it's almost like these large conglomerates are now, so you're now getting the stuff out, you're reclaiming it from the undiscovered waste, and you're sending it back to, not to the town, but you're having to funnel it like onto the trains or something back to the big shadowy conglomerates that are vying for power in this world with all of this new discovered tech stuff. So it kind of changes some of the commerce too. So some of it flows back into our town, but a lot of it flows out. And maybe that also adds to people like, well, a big old train is heading out of town. They got a ton of gear on it. What if we wanted to, you know, and now you obviously have bandits and stuff like that too, right?
So something we should do, I think, that would set this all apart from 5e in general is we should have a really reasonably strong and functioning economy. And that's a really weird thing to say, but hear me out. What do I need gold for in 5e? Can someone please tell me? Because once I buy plate mail, it's garbage.
I think it's actually a great point, Tony, because exactly what you're getting at here. Yeah. Yeah.
So I would say, you said, what's a currency? I don't know. Gold, silver, and copper. I know, Dave, you're heartbroken. We're getting rid of Electrium. Maybe platinum floating around somewhere and gems.
It doesn't even matter. We could call it whatever we want. But yeah, I mean, like,
people
use it off
whatever
of ideas,
for
right?
basis of currency. We could use steel pieces or something if we're talking about it being more of a port, you know, a town out that way. What would be valuable to you out there? Are you using those gold pieces to buy stuff around town, or is it more like a barter system or those kind of things?
I would sorry, Tony, I just wanted to say this really quick because I did this in Dragonlance, because Dragonlance steel is actually more valuable than gold because of stuff, the cataclysm, right? Whatever. So it's like, ooh, it's steel pieces. Oh, this is so different, right? In the end, it's like, well, what's a steel piece? Well, it's like a gold piece. Okay, so I'm just going to, I got 10 gold pieces then. So I think, Tony, and I think this is what you were maybe getting at, is less about what is the currency piece. I mean, that can be fun for flavor, but really, like, how does it flow? What can it, like Chris, you were just saying, what can it purchase? Like, what is the transactional nature of this world? Yeah.
So before you go diving out into the wastelands, you're going to want supplies. You're going to want bullets, rations, healing potions, upgraded weapons. We'll make a whole variety of weapons, some of which you absolutely could not purchase at the start of the game, different ammunitions. And I don't want to get into the minutia where we're looking for hairs and hot dogs, where we're counting how much water is in your water skin. But there has to be things to drive that reasonably. Or this whole gold rush, let's risk our lives to go out to the frontier and go to this ancient mine where there's a robot in there that's gone off the grid and is nuts. And we take it down and bring the tech out and try to sell it to town. Well, we need to buy things with that are interesting and then motivate our characters and help fulfill their goals.
It's interesting. I mean, I feel like we're going to end up at some point to your point, Dave, a little bit earlier. The steel piece conundrum is that no matter what we create as a form of currency, it's like a night at the inn costs one whatever piece, or this costs 5 gold pieces. Like, do we change the way that the economy works there? Maybe it's service based. Maybe I have to go do something for you, or I have to, you know, wash dishes for dinner or something like that. That might be a little bit extreme, but taking it away from the idea of actually into something where it's a meaningful, I have to give something up meaningfully to get something.
Yeah, because it totally is. Everything is just going to turn into, so what's a gold piece? What's a silver piece? What's a copper piece? Like, because it's easy, right? It's an easy way to track it. And also coinage seems medievally, right? Because that's what they had. They didn't have paper money, right? I mean, we could have paper money too, right? We could have, you know, 2 bits, right? Whatever. But the point being is not what those are called, or even, but what am I getting at here? Like, the idea of, is it, like you were saying, service-based? Is it like a lot of bartering? Like, is it like, how much of a boom town is this, right? Is this a brand new one? Like, where are they starting out? And are they building into this kind of like, because there's going to be people within the town that are trying to turn it into the next San Francisco, right? Or New York City. But right now it's Tombstone, right? So, Tony, to your point, there's certain things that you can purchase, but a lot of the stuff, just like in D&D, you're not going to walk in and purchase an arcane firearm, right? You're going to be discovering those things. You're going to be having to build those things. You're going to have to be bartering those things, stealing those, that type of stuff. So, you know.
You could move it to something like a standard of living kind of thing. They do it a little bit in the Lord of the Rings campaign, and that's more of like a bit in Cthulhu, truthfully, really, with your credit rating, is that more? It's more a measure of what you can spend. So I can go get a packet of gum anytime I want, right? Like, it's not like a thing like, I better need to roll a resource roll here to make sure I can afford this. Other things, to your point, you would need more. And by doing these services, by accruing more influence and more of this tech and doing services for other people, you would increase your standard of living to points where you would be able to afford nicer things, right? And it would be less based on a specific number and more based on you slowly accruing wealth and influence inside of the town itself and then the larger world.
Yeah, Tony, I think this is this goes to your point too, because we always talk about like, well, what the hell's the point of gold a lot of times in D&D games? Because it now just becomes something that we just track, right? Because it's like, oh, well, I have 10,000 gold. Okay, well, like, what am I going to purchase with this, right? Because we're not sitting and going, well, how much does my home cost? What's my mortgage? I want to rent a horse. So what's my lease on my horse, right? And do I need insurance on, right? Like, it's not a game of accounting. So why not, Chris? You were kind of getting to this point. Why even bother? Like coinage and stuff can still be usable, right? In terms of treasure, in terms of gathering stuff, but a lot of this is based off we're discovering this tech, and there are factions in the world that are trying to get their hands on as much of it for reasons, right? So, Chris, I think that's a great point. A lot of systems, they just kind of do away with the money. Like Marvel, you have resources, you have a certain amount. Call of Cthulhu, I have a certain standard of living. I can kind of afford these things, and maybe I can push myself a little with credit, but that... So it becomes a little more, and I think this would play into role play in an adventure like this, where I'm gathering wealth, quote unquote, but that wealth comes through influence, through power. Because what is wealth really? I mean, yeah, it's me buying hamburgers, but it's really about me being able to have influence and agency with my life, right? So I think like something like that, like building it into this. You're gathering influence with different groups and different people and stuff, right?
I mean, interesting points, gentlemen. I have seen it where you can have an economy and it's interesting. I swear to God, it can be done. I mean, I don't believe that you should be able to go into a shop and buy a Holy Avenger, but you should be able to perhaps use your gold or your silver or your steel or your credits or your gems to maybe buy a Ring of Protection. If you're further along in the campaign and that gels to fill out your character in other, like, lower, not critical game-bending ways so that they could find things like new spells, armor, components for crafting. This new tech's going to be around. I mean, it's going to be in stores. You're going to see it in the town somewhere. Some people
are there will be people who will have, bits of it starting to flow in, right? And the guy at the general store might just have this firearm, you know, it just came in the other day. I don't know where it came from.
But it could still work with that. It still work with some sort of a resource role where obviously something like a Ring of Protection, you're going to need to have a better standard of living or whatever you call it than you would if you're just purchasing like a night at the inn or, a dinner or something like that. But you could certainly still use the same sort of economy and just make sure that you're offering level specific things, especially in a boom town. It's going to be a starter town, so there would be stuff like Ring of, like those lower level common sort of magic items would be available as tech that had been bought and sort of, used tech and stuff like that. There would be shops there that would be buying it, general stores.
To tell you the truth, though, overall, for me, because of the way we're setting it, I think. And again, in a setting, you can place an adventure anywhere within that setting, right? Anywhere within the timeline that gets built in the setting. But if we're thinking about a very intro thing, I feel like the very intro stuff should just be like, there are no, Ring of Protections or healing potions out there. Like, that's made up shit. That doesn't exist. You know, that's fucking fairy tales. But no, it's not. There's rumors of stuff. You are the ones going out and starting to build that. You know, it's not in the stores yet because it's undiscovered still. It hasn't been found. I think really leaning into that is really, we've talked about magic, making magic special, making it matter, making it have weight to it, right? And I mean, the way to do that is not have a lot of access to it until you gain access to it, right? And not necessarily through the classes as much, like we were talking about Wizard and cutting that out or whatever, but the idea that you have to build into that. It's kind of like the Dragonlance thing with clerics, right? You have to kind of build into that from, that's the start of the adventure, right?
And I think magic absolutely should be special. I don't think that, like, you know, you should walk into a bar and everybody's lighting, you know, another person's cigar with flame bolts. Got it. But ultimately, as the game progresses, like with Dragonlance, right? And I don't throw out an unpopular opinion or anything, God forbid. But, you know, like, we're all these martial characters and most of us don't have any magical stuff. And guess what? Eventually run into an absolute mother ton of magical and supernatural stuff. There's no magic, but there's a trillion draconians. There are all these dragon people that respond with magic. Like, wow. And they're flying around in a flying citadel, and then there's Lord Soth, but we didn't have a wizard in the party. And I'm like, So, it's going to come out. It's like holding in your gut. It's going to become visible sooner or later in playing a fantasy game.
No. That's not my point. I'm saying, like, but lean into the start of it is.
But is it? But I think, is that the point? Is this the very start of the history? Like, I think the Tombstone exists. There's stuff there. There's still a lot of undiscovered country. But is it like the very genesis of this, or is it just a town that I arrive at this town knowing that there are these unexplored areas out there? Some of them have been explored. There's explorers that have been out there and stuff. Or is this that the town has just opened up out here and we're moving out into the, you know, the waste there, and no one knows anything about anything at all. Like, they haven't brought any tech back.
Yeah.
Right?
No,
like,
I think,
would there be some people in town who had maybe have, right? Like, people that would mentor people to kind of go out. Like, it can still be, it's brand new to you. And I think kind of Tony's point is, like, if we keep it level specific where you can't get crazy things. And also, to your point, is that we make sure that a lot of what you're going out there is you're going to find things like a ring of protection or everything like that. Like, that's a lot of the focus of the, of our, you know, a lot of the focus of what our people are going to be doing is going out into the wilderness to find things to sell. In the process of that, you'll have adventures and mysteries and stuff, but they're always going there to try to find that piece of tech that will be like a ring of protection or something else, a plus one sword or a, you know, some sort of a, like a, you know, you said like a revolver or something like that, a magic revolver.
Yeah,
the bit with the bullets was really good. That whatever the guy that came up with that, that was really awesome. That had some that really tweaked in with the gunslinger thing, having the etched bullets and stuff like that. The magic.
Oh, sure, sure, yeah, yeah. A couple people actually talked about that. But so I mean, yeah, like, it kind of depends on which way we want to go with it, because if we're talking, and so here we go. Here's a poll that we're probably going to throw out there this week. So get out there and vote, guys. Let us know. Thoughts on, so I think we can have two ways. So, Tony, your point is a really good one in the sense that, like Dragonlance, right? So you have a world where we're, let's say we're in D&D 5e. This is the system we're playing, whatever. But this setting, I think, should be able to be overlaid into a couple, you know, other types of game. But we're kind of talking a lot about 5e, because it's what we play a lot. So just like Dragonlance, if you decide to be a cleric at first level, well, you have to kind of explain, well, okay, so you're the new herald of the god and you've been called, and now you have to like kind of like level yourself up and become this person. But they're not like clerics all over the world or just like, you know, in the high temples. So you still have to answer for like, well, I know stuff at first level, right? It's not basic D&D where the cleric had nothing until level two, right? You just had a cross or a holy symbol. That was it, like, and a mace. But so we have that. So where you can explain the entry level magic stuff in the world, and maybe that's flowing through the towns to help explain, like, why do I have a wizard at first level, right? Or we decide to lean into the setting where you can't access those things until a certain point. Like, some people brought up the idea in some of the engagement too, like only allowing magic based classes, right? So like anything, druid, warlock, sorcerer, bard, artificer, wizard, to only be like you, in essence, it becomes a multi-level. It becomes a
As a multi-class.
It becomes
thing.
A multi-class, so and only
every, to multi-class
only every really. Other only every other level can you actually take that class. So I think this actually, Tony, this kind of falls into your idea when we were doing in Journey with runic levels, maybe a little bit too. But the idea that magic-based classes absolutely are there, but everyone starts as some martial-y class or something, and then every other you can decide, but no one can just take full caster all the way down the track. Because well, that also that limits the spread of magic too, right?
So that is a way to look at it, and I know we want to make magic special, and you do it like that, and ultimately it's going to be special within your party. And I that does track, but what I would recommend is look at our classes and let's flavor each of them for this environment, like we did with Ragnarok. Every one of those, like you were sort of fighter, you were a specific tailor to this environment, warrior, barbarian, same, wizard, same, right down there. And that'll give us some leverage to tweak whatever we need to fit the environment better. Sneak in some new flavored ideas. So this feels like this is something truly different. This isn't just like, and I'm playing a tactician or I'm playing a vampire hunter in the Wild West. New stuff, new options. We leave some of the other old ones in that fit.
I gotta say, just really quick, as I was kind of explaining that out, I kind of really, there's something I really like about this idea. So bear with me for a sec here. So let's say, and this doesn't mean it is, this is going to be a poll, guys. Remember, this is going to be either magic in 5e as is or magic every other level. But if we think about this, so follow me down this rabbit hole. You start as a martial class, right? So like clerics in original D&D, like you didn't have spells until second level, right? So you are Weird West guy or lady, right? And you start as fighter, as rogue, as whatever. Every other class, you have the option to take a magic casting class. So if you, let's say you rolled it to level 20, you would only have 10 levels of magic. And where I'm thinking with this might be cool is that that allows some of the tech out there and some of the additional power sets that we could create because of psionics, because of strange radiations, because of tech, all of this stuff. You can have access to magic that no one by class alone would have access to. So this is kind of like, Tony, you, I, and Thorne would talk about this many times, where the magic, the toy box of the class abilities kind of oversteps the need to necessarily go out and get treasure and experience because, well, if I just kind of level up, I'll be really powerful. I have access to everything if I just level up enough. But if I can only level to a certain point and I have to go out to get tech or psionics or whatever it is out there, and then I can, because if I can't ever get access in my own being to like Holy Avenger level power, then the Holy Avenger actually matters now. Is this making sense what I'm saying?
I mean, it's, the idea is good. I think the structure of it is just very formulaic. Like what if, take it to the next level and say so that everyone starts as a thing. But what you get out in the world is you find spell scrolls that you can learn. You find things that mutate you. And so you just develop magical abilities. So there is no magical class, so to speak. There is magic that you find and enhances. So every character can be as magical as they want to based upon what they get there. Versus having to worry about, well, are you second level, third level? Do you deserve to have another class? And then you could do a mix where you could mix between different types of things, magic items versus spells versus in, you know, abilities like sorcerer kind of abilities where you're mutated by something or something changes you to where it makes it where I'm still just a prospector, right? Right. I'm an explorer. I'm one of those like a subclass where I'm a prospector, but I have 30 spells in my spell book. I have some other tech that I use that's very artificer-like to be able to do stuff. I maybe etch my bullets, whatever like that. Like ways that it doesn't, you could take the restrictions off of magic and make it special by, I have to go out there to get it, but whatever I go out there, I can use. Like, well, I don't have to be worried about, am I a wizard? Like, to be able to use a spell scroll and be able to use it again.
You're literally running a game like that right now, right? I mean, that's the Lord of the Rings game. Is that, well, no, follow. I mean, that's a valid thing, which also some people talked about in our comments as well. But the idea that, like, you have who you are. You're the people you are. You might have certain abilities if you're like an elf or a dwarf or a halfling or something, but you're a person. And then the magic you gain is you learn it out there in the wilderness. But those are things. So magic becomes the resource as opposed to the inborn ability that just comes. So the classes all gain access to it as you're out there. Like, so any magic specific, is possible. Yeah.
Right? It's as much as I can gather versus I have to worry until I get to fourth level. Like, I can worry about my other stuff at fourth level to where I'm focusing on things that I can acquire and stuff like that.
So I mean, martial characters who are deprived of magic still kick plenty of ass. I mean, and I wouldn't even get into the whole, I'm splitting my intelligence, my strength, and my con, and my wisdom, and all this stuff to spread over to perhaps be dipping in arcane and martial. But, like, in Lord of the Rings, right, we're lucky to have a magical match, right? That's just the flavor. I don't want to say to anybody this is a magical world. We'll be lit on fire by our fan base. But no, seriously, we have no magic. And, like, monsters come out, and we kick the crap out of them. We shoot them full of a million arrows because we have other abilities which are just as powerful as magic. They're just differently flavored. So it's balanced. So I mean, I could then start chasing magic and try to do something completely out of my wheelhouse. It's like I'm an amazing boxer, and I could start taking up surgery. Maybe. If that's what you fancy, you could go for it.
Well, no.
Or
like, but
keep boxing.
That's the point, Tone, is that it's the – yeah, we totally are still a very valid party, as we are in Lord of the Rings, right, in Chris's campaign. But if we think about, like, our Weird West idea, and if you only have martial classes to start with, right, you can be – you're an explorer, you're a prospector, you're an adventurer, and you're going out there, you can still gain – like, in Lord of the Rings, if we gain – like, if all of a sudden Baron Thor, my Ranger of the North, was wielding a fucking Holy Avenger – that'd be a hell of a lot more powerful than I am with my awesome longsword that I have right now that has a whole lineage and stuff. Like, but that, so we could, you can still have like the arcane technology that allows for like really cool firearm technology and cool vehicle stuff and things like that. But I think the point we're getting towards is like, it's not a, you go out there and gain it, and then anyone has access to it. Not just this class or that class, you know. I don't know. I'm
just saying how much I want to spend on it. I think to your point, Tony, I'm a boxer. Maybe I pick up these particular spells because I really like it, or something like that. And then I also maybe I get mutated in some. They probably have some way to mutate you in a controlled way, right? Like somewhere out in the cursed, you know, wastes there where you could then. I want to get like some extra resistance to this, and it can be the kind of thing where you take that. I mean, eventually, I think to your point, your martial class starts to be where like, well, why am I going to do anything else except like hit them three times with the sword that I could do like so much damage with?
But I think
for flavor, it's that drive to go out there, because not only that, it's giving you influence, right? It's, and you're uncovering mysteries. I think to your earlier point is that the key to this is that the adventures that come out, that the spur to go out there is I need to discover stuff. I want to find these things and bring them back. But then when I go out there, it's things that you can find out there that provide cool mysteries, like when you're finding out about the old civilization or whatever, wherever this stuff came from and all these areas you hadn't been before. Like, I think it would be cool. And then the opportunities to make very unique character builds that are somewhat free of the whole multi-classing thing. Because I think what you talked about makes it the math makes it the hard part, where I'm like, well, I have to have at least a 13 intelligence plus this, you know, and this. And then if I do this, I have to split my hit dice.
You're making a fighter with a low strength.
If I find a scroll of Firebolt, well, hey, maybe I take it into town and I have a guy tell me how. Oh, this is how you do this, right? And then I can write it in my spell book. I mean, we can even facilitate where there's some step you have to take to be able to utilize a particular tech. But still, everyone could. It's free to whoever wants to go out there and risk their lives for it, kind of thing.
So it's about that time now for some final thoughts on our continuing experiment with building this world out, our weird west where magic is but a memory. So let's hear some final thoughts.
So I'm not necessarily in love with the whole coinage gem thing. I think that's easy to manipulate within a tabletop RPG, but we don't necessarily have to do that if you guys are really in love with the whole ranking of financial influence system. But there's got to be things to buy. I'm going to die on that hill. I'm going to go out to the wastelands. I'm going to fight mutated monsters, the undead, robots, aliens, whatever this place has to throw at me. I'm going to come back in town and buy something cool, utilize my resources in a way that's cool, that furthers my character goals. It has to be like that. As far as magic goes, coming out as martial characters, I don't know. I feel like we'll get pushback from people who are like, can I just play wizard? That's a valid point. We should also consider looking at some other classes where we have our own take on psionics, expanding the artificer where they get that high tech twinge that doesn't exist now, or modifying it, at least reflavoring it so it fits the system a little bit better.
It's to buy cool things in town. It's the stuff that people have brought back. Like there isn't any reason for me to go to this place. Like my reason going out there is financial foremost, right? And then comes the thought of maybe discovering some additional influence. But if I'm heading out to the Boomtown, unless I'm this conglomerate, I'm going out there to, I'm spending my last dollar to go to the Boomtown and get out there. So the commerce there makes point. And there's going to be stuff that, there's going to be places there to sell things, places for you to sell things that you've brought back from the waste, and places for there for you to therefore buy things and be able to enhance your character. And I think the way we did it with the magic, if it done right, I think if you wanted to be a wizard, you could be even more wizardy, because the only thing you're really not getting is the arcane recovery. You could take as many spells as you want. If we're placing it on a limit of how many I acquire, if I get 5 spell scrolls, I got 5 spells I can cast. We'd have to think about spell slots and stuff. You'd have to come up with some sort of mechanic around that. But I think it empowers people to not be hemmed in by, I have 2 spells this level and I have to wait until I get to the next level to get that. Maybe I go out and I find something that gives me another 2 spells or something else, by my own activities. And in that process, maybe I level up in my other class. So I think we're getting closer to where the town wants to be. Like a town is the town starts because it has a need there. There has to be some kind of commerce. There has to be something going on that's driving the people to do this, coming up with a good reason why.
Yeah, absolutely. So my I'm going to kind of finish my final thoughts with a couple of our kind of poll questions to get a sense of what people think out there. But I'm going to give my final thought here is, first, I'm going to go back to the poll we had this past week, where I was like, making magic work in our crowdsourced Weird West D&D Tombstone world, right? It was remove the wizard class, which did not get a lot of votes. It was adjust the spell list, which it got a couple more. And then I also had one idea, which was something else, leave it in the comments, where we got a lot of these cool things. But the biggest one was when I put the little joke vote up there, which was let people play whatever the hell they want and be a DM already. Right. And then in the end, I think that's a big part of this. Right. So any campaign setting that is already out there that you're building or whatever, there's room if you want to have people play whatever they want, like in Dragonlance, as they put it out now, like you can kind of do whatever the hell you want. But there are certain things that do have a flavor that is much more Dragonlance-y than not. Right. So there is that. So I think regardless of whatever we do with our classes and magic and stuff, there's room to build an adventure in it however you would like. But what I will say here Poll-wise, I think we would like to know what your guys' thoughts are on when we started talking about the economy, right? Are we talking about coinage? Are we talking about just power and influence, less about counting specific coinage and more about my ability to wield influence and credit and things like that? It still allows me to buy cool things, as Tony was saying, when I come back. But how, you know, what do you guys think? What's a cooler way? For me, I really like this idea of kind of power, influence, credit. Like I become a real muckety muck in the town and then back home and with the big, maybe corporations or something that want this tech, who knows. Regarding kind of the magic thing, magic in 5e as it is, magic with the whole every other level kind of idea, or magic is only found. You know, like in essence, it becomes like power sets that you can gain through finding tech, through learning, becoming radiated. And then like as the DM, like you kind of start unloading magic items in the form of abilities, power sets, things like that. And then I'm going to finish out with where I think this is also going to lead to. We haven't even covered the idea of divine magic in this world. And does that exist? How? Why, where, all of that. So I would love to also hear your guys' thoughts on when we get into gods, divine, divinity, clerics, like how do they work in this weird West too, right? A little different maybe from the tech, maybe not, who knows. But we're getting a lot of engagement. We want you to join the conversation. So please, reach out to us. You can get us at 3wisedms.com. You can put any questions or issues you have in the What's Your Problem field. You can reach us at 3wisedms@gmail.com. And then obviously Facebook and Instagram, we are having a lot of polls, voting, questions, a lot of stuff. So get out there. Let us know your thoughts. We'd love to hear them. And again, as you're building a world, a really cool way to do it is take all your dice and throw them out on the table. And the D4 is an island and the D20 is a town. And you get your cool town building dice from FanRoll Dice. So go to our affiliate link at fanrolldice.com/REF/2871. You put in the code 3WISEDMS10. You get 10% off your order. That is the number 3WISEDMS, the number 10. That's going to be it for us this week. Again, thank you guys for joining us on this this really engaging experiment that we're kind of doing. I'm getting kind of jazzed about this world that we're building out. So until next time, as we do each episode, we are going to let our dear old erstwhile leader take us out.
And thank you to all of you listening from home. We really appreciate it. If you liked what you've been listening to, please smash that 5-star rating button. Let us know. Leave a good review. Tell your friends. That really helps us grow. If you'd like to hear us answer any question you have, send it to us at 3wisedms@gmail.com or go to our website, 3wisedms.com, and enter it in the What's Your Problem field. Or you can talk to us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're active on all those platforms, so feel free to drop by, you know, send us a question, and we'll see if we can make it on the show. That's it for this week. We'll see you next time, 3 Wise Deals.